I am Planta on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. This Saturday, the good folks at Opera Mariposa are holding an event, The Impossible Dream, a triumphant new benefit and awareness show. It'll be presented by the award-winning soprano Jacqueline Coe, who will collaborate with the pianist Karen Shemka, performing opera, Broadway, and Disney music. Proceeds from the event will support the ME-FM Society of BC. ME stands for Myalgic Encephalomyelitis, also known as Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, and FM is for fibromyalgia. Joining me now is Stephanie Coe, the general manager of Opera Mariposa, who will tell us about Saturday's event as well as these conditions that she and her sister Jacqueline know about firsthand. Visit mefm.bc.ca for more information about the charity and their advocacy, and visit operamariposa.com for tickets to the event. That's at 7:30 p.m. at St. Helens Anglican Church, 4405 West 8th Avenue in Vancouver. I'll also get Stephanie to talk about the Opera Mariposa organization and their continuing work providing opportunities to emerging performers, as well as the charities and programs that they continue to support. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Stephanie Coe. Ms. Coe, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. So I've been talking to people from Opera Mariposa over the last couple of years or so, and you've been there from the beginning, I guess. You're the general manager now. Were you one of the founders?
Yes, I was. I mean, my sister, Jacqueline Coe, is the founding artistic director, and I've sort of been involved on the administrative side since the beginning.
Yeah, that's the thing that's impressed me about the organization in its few years now in existence, is that you all have attracted a lot of talent and done a lot of good work.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say. Yeah, I mean, when we started, we had no idea we'd be, like, let's see, we're in our seventh season right now.
Uh-huh.
So it's been really amazing, all the different people we've been able to work with and the different projects we've been able to be a part of.
Yeah, yeah. And so it continues the 18th of May, Saturday the 18th of May, at St. Helens Anglican Church there on West 8th. The show's called The Impossible Dream, a triumphant new benefit and awareness show, with proceeds going to the MEFM Society of BC. Would you tell us about what myalgic encephalomyelitis, I can't even pronounce it.
Okay. Well, The Impossible Dream is a benefit and awareness show for chronic neuroimmune diseases,
mm-hmm.
in particular for ME, which is easier for people to say.
Right.
ME means myalgic encephalomyelitis,
mm-hmm.
and FM, which means fibromyalgia. So they're two different illnesses, but there's some symptom overlap, and the patient population has similar needs. So the charity we're raising money for benefits both. My sister Jacqueline and I have both had ME since we were children,
uh-huh.
so it's a cause that's really close to our heart. And this is actually the 10th anniversary performance since Jackie's first awareness and benefit show for these illnesses and this cause.
Right.
Basically, myalgic encephalomyelitis means, myalgic means like muscle pain,
mm-hmm.
And encephalomyelitis means inflammation of the brain and spinal cord. So ME affects the brain, and because the brain controls your whole body, it affects most of the body symptoms. So it can cause over 60 different symptoms that affect all sorts of things, like, you know, your immune system, your cardiac system, your neurology, so you can have cognitive symptoms like memory loss, speech mm-hmm. difficulties. Some people have heard of ME and they just don't know it, actually, because another common name for it is chronic fatigue syndrome.
I see, yeah.
But it's sort of controversial because a lot of people feel that it doesn't really represent the full range of symptoms. It's mm-hmm. sort of reductive.
Mm-hmm.
And when people hear fatigue, they think, oh, like sleepiness.
Right.
Whereas it's called chronic fatigue syndrome because the hallmark of ME is anything you do, either physical or cognitive, worsens your symptoms. It's like you get a hangover from it.
Yeah.
So if I have a conversation, if I read a book, if I go for a walk, if I watch television, then all my symptoms get worse afterwards. So
yeah.
If you have mild ME, you'd have about a 50% reduction in functioning.
Right.
If you have moderate to severe ME, it's quite likely you would be bedbound or housebound. You might not be able to tolerate sensory stimulation because the cognitive load of that is too hard on the body. So you might not be able to eat. You might need to be fed through tubes because you can't, you know, chew. You don't have the energy for that. You might not be able to tolerate light. So you might have to go to your medical appointments in a body bag. It's very severe.
Yeah.
Fibromyalgia has a spectrum of symptoms that are characterized in particular by widespread burning pain throughout the body. It can also impair the joints and soft tissues, cause neurological abnormalities, irregular heartbeat, crushing exhaustion, uncontrollable sleeping. Basically, they're both extremely serious illnesses. They affect together over 1 million people in Canada.
Really?
Fibromyalgia is about 2-4% of the population.
Wow.
Myalgic encephalomyelitis is nearly 2% of the population. I think Canada actually has the highest diagnosed rate in the world. So they're both very serious and very prevalent.
And so this organization has done a lot of work in terms of services that it provides, say, patients and their families, right?
Yeah. Basically, they provide resources because even though these are so widespread as illnesses, they're very under-resourced. There's barely any research funding.
Mm.
There's very little patient support. A lot of doctors don't learn about ME in particular in medical school at all. So it can be very hard to get diagnosed and, as a result, very hard to access appropriate treatments, access, you know, disability income, insurance, that kind of thing. So the MEFM Society of BC helps patients and their families, but they also work to educate and inform healthcare professionals, the government, the public, and promote better medical research, testing, diagnosis, and treatments. So they're filling a really important gap, basically.
Indeed. Now, there are a lot of misconceptions that people have, despite a lack of information.
Yes,
I'm sure you've experienced a lot of that firsthand.
Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest problems, of course, is that a lot of people, including medical professionals and policymakers, just don't know about these illnesses.
Yeah.
But they fall under the spectrum of what people call invisible illnesses, which means that a lot of the symptoms aren't visible to the naked eye. Like, you can't see if someone's in pain or if their brain is malfunctioning or whatever. But also, I think with ME and FM, they're sort of invisible because the people who are the worst off just aren't seen. They can't leave the house. So you're only seen if you're up to being out in public. So often, if you're a little higher functioning, you wind up confronting the idea that, well, you know, you can't be really that sick, or you're just dramatizing, or it just means you're out of shape and you need to exercise to get better, or things like that. But these are very serious illnesses. In fact, exercise, because it stresses the body, can make ME worse, lead to organ failure and stuff like that. So, there's a lot of misconceptions, and part of the reason we want to do awareness shows isn't just to help raise resources for the community, but it's to help fight the stigma about these illnesses, to help raise awareness, and to help people who don't have the opportunity or the medical ability to speak out to still sort of, you know, help raise awareness on their behalf. I mean, we can only tell our own stories, but I think it's important overall to get the word out there.
So one way people who are listening can help is they can buy a ticket to this benefit on Saturday the 18th. What can people expect when they get to St. Helens Anglican Church there on the Saturday? What can they expect in terms of what the evening will be like?
Okay, well, it's a concert featuring Jacqueline, my sister, who's Mariposa's artistic director and also a multi-award-winning soprano, and she's teaming up with acclaimed collaborative pianist Karen Shumka. She's worked for the VSO, she's music directed across Canada and Austria, and basically, because this is Jackie's 10th anniversary performance since her first benefit and awareness show when she was 17, she's basically doing a sort of greatest hits. So there's all sorts of different music. There's opera, there's Broadway showstoppers, there's Disney songs. You know, there's really something for everyone. And she's going to be all weaving that together to sort of tell her own personal story. And then there's also a complimentary dessert buffet, which includes gluten-free and dairy-free stuff. There's also a raffle contest where we're giving away thousands of dollars in prizes, which have been donated by all these amazing local businesses, either gift certificates, jewelry, original artwork, show tickets to the Vancouver Opera, to the Vancouver Bach Choir, gift certificates, and it's all going to support the MEFM Society of BC. So it's just going to be a really fun evening, and it's for a great cause.
Yeah, it just sounds like a fun evening, especially with the entertainment that's planned. Do you perform yourself?
Not really. I have once or twice in the past, but I consider myself sort of a behind-the-scenes person.
Yeah.
Like, Jackie and I sort of have different aptitudes, and I like to do the graphic design, the costume design, the sort of writing, publicity. I'm more on the administrative end myself.
Yeah, you do work in sort of in the artistic field, in the sense of the photography that you've done in your career. So it really was a sort of creative household, wasn't it, growing up?
Yeah, well, I mean, both of us were really into music as kids. Like, you know, we played in the school band, we took piano lessons. I mean, both of us, with our illnesses, have had to find new ways of pursuing the things that we're interested in. So part of the impetus, I think, for Jackie to start her own company was because we can set rehearsal schedules, plan our seasons and stuff in a way that does accommodate our health needs and makes it, I think, more accessible to other performers who have health needs too.
Mm-hmm.
But we've always been interested in this kind of thing, and this is just, I guess, the natural way that it developed for us to pursue our interests.
Yeah, and it's a great thing too that this company has chosen to give back as it has throughout these 7 years, these seven seasons. I mean, I guess that was really important for you guys when you started it, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, Jackie's first awareness show was 10 years ago before she even founded Mariposa.
Wow.
She looked around and she'd never seen anyone do an awareness event for these illnesses. That first event, people actually told her, we've never heard of one of these done in Canada at all. Our shows were actually like featured in a book. Like, it's that rare.
Mm.
And at that time, very few people had heard of the illnesses at all, including doctors. People would say, oh, well, that's not a real disease, is it? There was this one woman that actually called Jackie, and she was crying when she heard about that first awareness show. She said, you know, I've had this illness for decades. I've never heard about anyone talking about it or speaking out about it or trying to help the situation. And so it seems like fate that you live in the same, you know, the same city as me and you're doing something. So that, I mean, that was such an amazing experience for us to realize, to connect with all these other people who were going through the same thing, to feel like we were making a difference. And so when we started Opera Mariposa, it just really, it's not even something we thought about and decided whether or not we wanted it to be a part of what we were doing. We just did it. It was just like, it went for, you know, it went without saying.
Yeah. Now, back to ME and FM. Are there any, I mean, is medical science any closer to figuring out why this happens? I mean, is it genetics? Is it the environment, say, that one grows up and that one develops these two conditions, say?
Well, I'm not as up on the fibromyalgia research myself.
Sure.
Because obviously I have a vested interest in
following
the ME research. But it's they're acquired conditions. ME often happens after, like, a virus or something like that.
Mm.
So one of the theories is that some people have a genetic predisposition to being susceptible, which explains why some people might get, you know, a virus or some sort of trauma to the body and might not get ME, and some people do get ME. There is some interesting research going on, actually. The Open Medicine Foundation in America is run by a worldwide famous geneticist whose son actually has ME, so he started researching ME. And just within the last couple of days, they actually believe they've identified a biomarker where it's like a blood test where you can see if someone has ME compared to another illness or another, or compared to a healthy individual. But there's research is still really in its infancy, and that's why it's important to, you know, have more research funding and have more equitable research funding, because in comparison to other conditions, it's a very under-resourced field.
Right. I wanted to ask about music, because that's obviously a big part of Saturday the 18th.
Yeah.
You mentioned that, Opera Mariposa has the word opera in its title, but this show on the 18th will be just a variety of kinds of music, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it'll have some classical music, it'll have some Broadway, it'll have, like, movie music, Disney music. Yeah, I mean, Jackie and I both enjoy all sorts of genres, and she's produced musical theater shows as well as opera shows. Mariposa has a musical theater wing, the Mariposa Theater Wing, that does plays and Broadway musicals that have sort of operatic elements, I guess I'd say.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that this sort of music, I mean, especially opera, may seem old-fashioned to some people, but I mean, it really has taken on a, there's a greater appreciation for it, especially Broadway as well.
Yeah, I mean, Opera Mariposa is obviously run by young artists, and, you know, we don't think of it as old-fashioned or stuffy.
Right.
I think that's the perception of it, but that's one we're actively working to sort of break down. Like, there's a lot of up-and-coming opera companies, you know, indie opera companies run by younger artists. Like, it's something that we really enjoy. It's because to us, it's sort of, it's a form of drama. It's like going to the movies, right? It combines music with acting, with, you know, choreography and all sorts of different things, and it's a great night out. It's a lot of fun. I mean, we have a lot of fun putting it on, and I like to think that our productions sort of reflect that, that they're not, you know, stuffy or whatever, that it's just enjoyable. We actually have quite a young audience base. We've done children's operas where children come in and they seem to really enjoy it, not only, you know, the music and everything, but they like to take pictures with everyone dressed up in their costumes as if they're going to Disneyland or something. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you mentioned these young audiences that show up, but also, I mean, as I mentioned off the top, I've talked to a number of the artists involved over the years, and really young talent and talent that concurrently work elsewhere and do shows and with other companies and professionally throughout the community, sometimes even outside this town, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had productions where there were artists working together from across 5 different continents. We've worked with a lot of artists who also perform with Vancouver Opera, Bard on the Beach, the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra, Arts Club, you know, where we've been very lucky to work with so many talented people and to have them all interested in coming together and putting shows together.
And then Opera Mariposa also gives them another opportunity to
showcase their work,
right?
Yeah, well, particularly if you're a younger artist and you're just coming out of school,
right,
it's really important to get certain roles on your resume. Like, it's harder to find work with the big houses unless you already have quite a full resume. So we also see ourselves as sort of filling that gap for the emerging professionals and helping to showcase them.
Stephanie, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. You all at Opera Mariposa are doing tremendous work, necessary work. Congratulations. My compliments on these past 7 seasons and beyond that. Urge people, I guess they can go to the website and get tickets that way, right?
Yeah, people can get tickets at operamariposa.com or 1-800-838-3006, and every cent of the tickets for The Impossible Dream support charity. So we hope as many people as possible will join us on Saturday, May 18th.
Visit operamariposa.com for tickets to the event. That's Saturday, 7:30 p.m., the 18th of May. St. Helens Anglican Church, 4405 West 8th here in Vancouver. Stephanie Coe joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.